I call the City of Franklin's Plan Commission to order. Mr. Fuchs, please take the roll.
Commissioner Micklegg?
Here.
Commissioner Ritter?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Here.
Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Commissioner Bennett?
Here.
Alderman Skaronski?
Here.
Commissioner Fowler?
Here.
Please rise during the pledge of allegiance to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes, regular meeting of Thursday, January 19th, 2012.
So moved.
Second. So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? You're not on the commission. Mr. Deal.
Staff did find that there needs to be one correction. On item 3A, that last large paragraph, who made the motion? I believe it was Commissioner Fowler rather than Commissioner Ritter.
Any objections to that correction? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, six ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries. I should note that the city attorney asked to be excused, and I said absolutely. So with that, Mr. Deal, we now turn to public hearings and business items. Item A, Wyndham Village Retail, LLC. Could you walk us through what needs to be done here?
And we do have representatives and the applicant here as well.
Okay.
But this is a master sign program amendment. The master sign program was something that the city created for those developments. I mean, there are a couple scattered throughout the city that have multiple tenants, and the original conception of the project envisioned that they would like to have some additional flexibility for their signage, additional amounts of signage, those kinds of things. And the Plan Commission and Common Council created a program or a process that allowed those projects that were specifically identified for the master sign program to get that additional flexibility. And in exchange, there would be, you know, a greater consistency between the signage through the multiple tenants, high quality in the signage. And so that master sign program was approved for the Shops of Wyndham Village back in 2008, I believe. And now they wish to make an amendment to that. Amendments to the master sign program can be approved by the Plan Commission. The Plan Commission would normally have the final say on this matter. And what the applicant is specifically asking for, they wish to change the box signs that they currently use be channelized letters, and that signage style, individual letters on a little strip placed on the wall is common and can also be attractive. So staff has no problem with that. The applicant is also asking for an additional sign. The master sign program was written such that end cap users, people at the ends of the buildings, would get three signs, and the tenants in the interior tenant spaces of the building would only get two signs. This applicant is going to take up two tenant spaces, one at the end of the store or the building, and one right next door. Normally that would mean that they'd only be able to get three. I believe it's just three, and now they're asking for three plus one. So that would be an amendment that would apply throughout this entire master sign program. So the idea being that if you have more than one tenant space, you're only getting the signage for one of those tenant spaces. Normally the applicant would choose whatever gave them the most signage, in this case, the end cap standard, which is the three signs. So that's the way it's currently written. So if you have multiple spaces, you only get the amount of signage for one of those spaces. This is a compromise. Instead of getting five that you'd combine all those tenant spaces in this case versus the three that you get now, staff is recommending the in-between, which is four. And again, that would be to address quality, design, the clutter, those kinds of issues. So with those concerns and considerations, staff is recommending approval. There are a number of conditions, and one of them would be that the box signs be replaced rather than refaced if that ever needs to happen. The multiple tenants would only get those one additional sign. In this case, they'd be getting four. And it wasn't clear at the initial submittal if they were asking for a subway sign at this time, too. I don't believe they are. But if they were, that subway sign would have to meet the regular standards of this master sign program, which has posed in the materials in the back, wouldn't meet those standards. But I don't think they're asking for that right now. And then just a FYI, that those pictures in the back of the packet were just examples. So, for instance, they're showing the subway sign where Cousins is. I believe Cousins is staying. It's not changing. They show the Mattress Firm where the Sally's Beauty Supply is. I don't think Sally's Beauty Supply is leaving. The Mattress Firm is going to be located at the end of the building that contains the Avada Gia Spa. So it's at the west end of that building. So again, staff is recommending approval of those conditions.
Okay. Did you say that there is do you have a presentation? Or?
I don't know if they have a presentation, but they are aware, but they are available to answer questions and provide more details at the point.
Okay. I think we also have some special guests with us tonight. I don't know if the applicant would like to introduce the new owners of the Shops at Wyndham Village, but they're here tonight. Welcome.
Thank you. Turn the mic. I'm Joe Ehrlich. I'm a representative of the ownership group. This is my colleague, Brandon Campbell. Thank the Planning Commission for preparing our proposed amendment this evening. I came in from Washington, D.C. Brandon came in from Denver. We wanted to be here to show our support and that this is a very important asset for us and that we look forward to working with the community.
Yeah, I just had a meeting this afternoon with these two gentlemen and others, and I just want to personally thank you for coming in and I guess giving us the opportunity to get to know you. That doesn't happen all the time. In fact, it's rather rare, so I greatly appreciate it that you took the time and that you flew in for this.
Likewise. We appreciate you. I'm also, we're happy to answer any questions about the asset itself. Our sign consultant, Chad, is here. He could address any specific questions about the signage.
Okay. I mean, maybe just a brief proposal or presentation by your person on the signage and actually the rationale for why it's necessary.
Sure. Maybe it makes sense to address the rationale first, and for that I'd invite Dan, who's our retail leasing broker. We're competing with a number of different trade areas.
Okay.
So we think this would be
obviously
help us be competitive.
It's one of our most high-profile developments in the city. And,
thank you. Hi. Dan Rosenfeld, Mid-America Real Estate. Do you want an address or not?
Yes.
648 North Plankinton, Milwaukee. I guess we're looking to modify the sign program so it can be more adaptable to national branded and regional and local retailers. We're seeing a change in the trade dress or the trade package that these retailers require. They like to see the Channel 7 letters on raceways, and they like to get some of their corporate identification and some of their branding, which previously was not achievable through the previous box signs that we had. So fairly straightforward.
Once I have you up there, how is the, I see you quite often, how is the economy from your viewpoint?
We're hoping it's coming around. We're seeing more ground-up developments of large format retailers. We're starting to see some of the middle format retailers, you know, 25,000 to 30,000 square foot retailers start to come back into the market. It's still very competitive. It's still a tenant-driven market whereby the tenants really call the shots, and a tenant should, you know, as we're marketing Wyndham Village, we're not just competing against other shopping centers within Franklin or the immediate area. We're competing against other shopping centers from other parts of Wisconsin. A retailer considers a store count as a unit. So they don't care whether the unit is in Franklin, Wisconsin, or if the unit's in Wausau, Wisconsin. So we're up against those kind of forces. And it's right now the tenant is calling the shots. as it relates to economics, as it relates to build-out. So we're not yet at that normal balance where it's a friendly even keel.
Yeah, I know that the people over at Orchard View Shopping Center have had, they've tried just about everything to try and bring people into the Century Store. And we have a vacant coffee shop that I hear about quite often that's right across the street from that. So we're all very sensitive to the economy and trying to fill up as many of those stores as we possibly can or to try and assist in that.
Good.
Just a quick question. I'm sorry. I just have a quick question. Why your tenants are looking for these sites? I'm also the chair of the Trails Committee, so I'm also interested in making our developments more pedestrian friendly. Is that do you find that as an issue? I know one of the things I've always strived for is one, reducing parking lot sizes and trying to reduce the amount of stormwater runoff. So I'm also interested in that as well. But if you bring those buildings forward like you've done. So well at Windham Hill, I like the fact that there are buildings on close to the street. Do you find that as an attractant, that there's less people have to cross, less acres of asphalt to get to the stores, or is that not something that even comes into play?
We're seeing retailers come down from their five parking stalls per 1,000 square feet, or 5 to 1. We're seeing them come down to 3.5, to 4, to 4.5. So we're seeing retailers live with less parking fields. Mm. However, what we're finding is those developments that have the urban edge, where your building's on the street and your parking's behind it, they're usually the assets and the projects that have the slowest lease-up and the highest turn. Because it's the normal consumer behavior to be able to drive down the street and want to see that a retailer's either open or they're doing business. And when you hide that with the building, you know, as the wall is the edge, it makes it difficult. And this occurs in multiple communities. You see it on Blue Mountain Road in Brookfield. You see it, you know, in Mequon. And that concept of that urban edge with the building out on the front, it's really a phenomenon that's occurred over the last, let's call it, 10 years. So we're now starting to see the first wave of turnover from those initial tenants.
So if the front of the store would have been on the street where the people driving by could see that it was open?
No, if it would have been more traditional.
Okay.
If it would have been traditional where the parking field's in front of the store, those are usually the more healthy and viable shopping centers. And we're just finding that out now after this wave of that concept development.
Alderman Skraskin.
Yeah, on your tenant base, do you find that your stores or for your future tenants are more of a smaller store, say 5,000 feet and under, or looking for over that 5,000 to 10,000 square feet and higher?
Smaller
than 5.
We're seeing, yeah. And you're reading about in the national magazines, the retailers like the PetSmart and the Petco and the OfficeMax and the Staples. All those retailers are coming up with a small box format. Small as 3,000 square feet, 9,000 square feet, when they normally were 20. Petco, as an example, is now occupying 3,000 square feet in grocery anchor centers. So everyone is having to come down with their box size because they don't need the floor area because there's not as many SKUs that they're housing in their retail operations. A lot of it is online. So they're using the internet.
I have another question. On the you have a mattress store. Is this based on like a Steinhoffel's mattress firm and stuff like that?
Yes, it's on that same scale as the mattress firm is a Serta branded mattress store. There are, I believe, 16 of them throughout the southeastern Wisconsin, and they compete with the Verlo's and the Steinhoffel's.
Yeah, because Steinhoffel bought Verlo and putting them out on small stores around.
Yeah, right.
Thank you.
Commissioner Micklick?
I just wanted to follow up on the stores up to the sidewalk and what you've seen as 10-year results and things like that. And I apologize, I'm medicated today, so it'll be a little foggy. I've been following that same phenomenon. And there is also a correlation, though, I want pointed out, to the speed and width of the road that's next to these developments. So we've got a lot of what you would call strodes. They're supposed to be streets, but they're treated like roads. When you've got cars going by 50 miles an hour, 45 miles an hour, that phenomenon that you describe is exactly what happens. You go by so fast, it's just a building. Whereas if you go by and you see a big parking lot with cars in it, you register that within, you know, half a second as you go by. So we can combat that by bringing down the speed of our roads and the width of our roads.
Okay, we probably got a little bit off the signage on that one, but we don't get the likes of you coming in front of us all the time. So you know a lot better than we do as to what's out there and what isn't. And so, if you don't mind, we took advantage of it.
Thank you.
All right. Steedle, what's we just have to?
There should be a motion.
Wait. Could somebody from the community speak?
If they wish.
Yeah. Sure. Is there how many people would like to speak on this?
Well, I would for one.
Okay. Is there a motion to suspend the regular order of business to allow this gentleman to speak?
So moved.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying
aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. If you'd come forward to the microphone, please state your name and address for the record. Appreciate it.
My name is Glenn Bogdan. I live at 7577 South Joshua Court. And I live very close to the shopping center, and I have seen the shopping center. I've been in it, and I know the good stonework, the brickwork on the outside of the building, and I notice the good taste and dignity with which the signs that are there now are there. People can see what's there, and if they wish to stop, they can stop. And so I would like to, first of all, see what do the new signs look like. Is that a possibility?
Sure. You say that's why we got the big projector out.
This here. Is right. This is the inside. You have one of the outside.
You trying to bring one up, Nick?
Yes.
Sir? He's trying to bring one up on the screen.
So these are the channel letters, is that it? And this sign will be facing the west. Is that right?
No. This example does, but this is not actually going to, this is just a sample. That sign will not face the west.
Okay, so you don't have any idea what it's going to look like?
It's right there.
That's the inside. I was wondering what the outside looks like.
The same type of sign will be on
the other side of the building.
On the street side?
On the street side? Which street will the sign be facing?
There'll be one facing Lover Lane Road and one facing Drexel, and then the two interior for the four signs.
So we have no idea what the one on Drexel is going to look like?
It will look like this.
Is that going to be lighted?
Yes.
And what hours is the light going to go off? I live across the road. We have a whole whole housing development across the road. And this Target sign, which is up there now, is very disturbing to the people in the subdivision.
Possibly the applicant could address the lighting and
What hour would you like it to go off, sir?
I would like it to be off. It could be on and not lighted at all. The Target sign that is up there now is really a hideous thing to look at.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand. So you don't want any lighting?
I would definitely prefer not. Because the signs that are there now, for example, you mentioned Cousin Sub, they are lit and people can see them, but they don't extend out like the Target sign does.
Well, I can say on behalf of the ownership, we're certainly willing to work with the community and wouldn't want to leave them on all night long. We want to agree on a reasonable
turnout
time.
What time are you going to close?
But I mean, I want to discuss it with the community. I'm trying to have a conversation with the community.
Actually, I'm allowing the discussion, but you should really address your questions to me as the chair.
Okay, what time would the lights go out?
Yeah. Well, I think you said that you would prefer that there would be no light at all. So I asked you, what time do you think would be reasonable?
Well, if they're not lighted, they don't have to turn them off at all.
Okay, but if they are lighted, which hour would you like?
What time is the store going to be? How late is the store going to be open?
10 o'clock. So
you know?
Or less.
I think the different retailers may have different hours on different days of the week, but I would think that by the time the last retailer closes, within, say, 15 minutes of that, it would be a reasonable expectation that all of the signage, at least the signage that faces Drexel, be turned off.
Okay. At 10 o'clock.
That would be good. Do you think you could work something out with Target in that regard? Because they were supposed to turn it off. They promised us to turn it off at 10 o'clock. And you get up, it's still on at 12, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Well, we have the new owners here, but we don't actually have the Target issue on the agenda.
I would also point out for the commission meeting. Sorry to interrupt there.
It's okay.
We don't own the Target store.
Oh, that's correct.
Nor do we own that car site.
I understand.
We can certainly.
It would be much appreciated if it went off at 9:15.
Time to time I go in there and get a cup of coffee and see the manager. I can always try and talk to the manager, but I'm guessing with discussions that led up to Target that it's usually a corporate decision out of Minnesota, but that doesn't mean we can't ask.
Okay. I would appreciate that.
Okay.
And that pretty well answers my questions. I would prefer signs like cousin dad, but I guess I don't have any say in that.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. All right, is there a motion to return to regular order of business?
So moved.
Right, it's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. I guess before we vote on this, I think the gentleman makes a good point about the signage and on Drexel, and that you know if the plan commission could suggest that the signage go off at 10 o'clock or before, I think that's more than a reasonable request on behalf of them. I think I'm hearing from the owners of the building that they would be amenable to working with us. And I guess what I'm hearing, I sure hope it's true, is that you're going to work with us on all of the things that come forward. That would be great.
That's our intent.
Yep. Mr. Bennett and Mr. Fowler.
Are we going to then make this kind of standard? I know first is to have a sign on Drexel. So I think if we allow one, we're probably going to have to allow one.
I think only this one is on the agenda, so I think we can only impose a time limit.
I want to talk about a time limit. I'm talking about in the future that all the stores then going to have a sign on Drexel that face Drexel. Is that the intent of what we're going to be doing in the future? Because I think once you allow one, I think a purchase come in, and I think the other one is what, Edward Jones?
Well, Nick would know, because there have been pre-approvals for standardized signage for all the potential tenants. If they put their signs within those pre-approved areas, they don't come back to the planning commission. If they want to vary or alter from that, then they would come back. Nick may know what was pre-approved.
I believe they're
talking about Nick Fuchs.
Yes.
Okay. Signage is approved on these buildings on the east side.
Oh, they aren't
here.
No, they aren't there now.
That was all part of it for their original approval.
Because I know First it doesn't have signs.
Go in there a lot?
No, but I go by there. Like four times a day.
I've got to be careful. My daughter starts working there.
That's just my question. Is if
we have to recuse
if
myself.
We do one, we ought to be in a position.
The sign locations are not being changed. So the next, the future tenants are not putting signs where signs are not already approved. So there are no extra sign locations.
Except we're allowing an additional sign location.
Where a sign was already approved for a separate, what was anticipated to be a separate business. Of two businesses, so really where this end cap and interior space is anticipated to be occupied would be allowed five signs. Really now it's just that they would use spaces around the whole. So it's actually reducing
what
could have been.
If we do take action as a planning commission, I am concerned that one that would be setting a precedent for a time constraint on just this owner, or is that something that we have to be concerned about, or do we need to take that?
I think it's happened. I can remember Hugo's coming in here, and we set a time limit on the volleyball, yeah, when the signs or the lights had to go off there. It seems to me, sitting up here either as an alderman or the mayor, this has come up two or three different times. We actually have the ability to discriminate and decide on each parcel or each proposal.
Then I would be willing to make a motion to that fact that we request that the owners turn the lights off on the signs facing Drexel.
Do you have a limit? Let me ask you, Mr. Keel.
Unless we have something else to prepare a motion.
I can't.
All the time
of the FBI. Okay. Alderman
Skronsky. Yeah, the gentleman from the shopping center, Target's a standalone building. They don't have nothing to do with it. So that would have to be requested by corporate, or maybe the mayor or something like that, to talk to them about their sign.
I would like to make
next time that if you ever buy me a cup of coffee,
I will.
I'll talk to the manager.
I'd like to make that part of our
case. Okay. Is there a motion? Let's see. A motion to approve a resolution approving an amendment to the master sign program for the shops at Wyndham Village Commercial Retail Center, with the proviso that for the specific item that's in front of the plan commission tonight, that signage, the lighting not go on for more than 10 o'clock p.m. at night.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries. So that's it, so that the owners know we'll have to live up to turning off that sign by no later than 10 o'clock.
We'll be pleased to do that. Thank you for your time.
And
look forward to working together.
If the commissioners can remind me that I need to, maybe Alderman Solomon, I'll either buy you a cup of coffee, you can buy me a cup of coffee, we'll go talk to the manager at Target, okay? See what we can do about it.
Kim's buying.
All right, next item on the agenda.
Thank you very much for allowing us to speak.
Thank you.
Good evening.
I think it would not be a bad idea if you wanted to talk to the owners while they're here, if you have other issues.
Okay.
I think they'd be very receptive to listening to you. Item B, GFS Marketplace Realty 5 LLC, Gordon Food Service Marketplace Store and Potential Future Retail Building Signage. Mr. Pedillo.
This is also a signage issue. Situation is different, though. No master sign program has been established here. This is part of the planned development district. There have been a number of amendments to the planned development district over the years that included sign restrictions and conditions, and so there's another one here. I think 8 or 9 have been done in the past. What the applicant's asking for is some additional signage. 75 square feet, I believe, than what's currently allowed, and they would like the monument sign to be reoriented. The PDD actually states that the monument sign would be taller and less narrow. So it's almost like a piece of paper standing up. The PDD says size limits like this. They're requesting something more like this. So actually, they're exceeding the width, but they're going to be shorter than allowed. So staff doesn't have any concerns, is recommending approval of those changes. The applicant did want to clarify what was wall signage, what was monument signage, what was on the phase one for Gordon Food Services, and what was in phase two. So there's a revised ordinance. That specifies and clarifies that exact breakdown between those two phases in the monument versus wall signs. And so we recommend that revised ordinance be used, and that's at the request of the applicant.
Alderman Skronsky.
Yeah, bring that back to the site plan again. All right, where are those signs? Where's the proposed sign going? I would go on a plan view. Yeah.
The signs, the monument sign is here.
That's for the future building.
Yeah, it's first.
Or that's for Gordon Food.
Yes,
okay.
Gordon Food Services and okay. The future phase will each have a kind of panel on that monument sign.
Okay.
And
so
there's a sign above the
okay.
Entrance.
Does that mirror what they have down in Kenosha or overseas? Pretty much on what their building is?
And the applicant's here. He could try to say for sure.
If you could, please state your name and address for the record. And while you're doing that, I'd just like to let you know that there was a fairly large meeting of some of the business owners, Dental Associates, Melrose, Tulasco, Menards, the other day with two state representatives regarding 27th Street and whether signalized traffic lights should be put in place or other measures. Just so you might want to talk to Dental Associates or people over there. It affects you.
Changing where the traffic lights are?
No, it's where the opening of the median is. They close them.
At this intersection or further up?
It's a little bit, it's further up.
Yeah, where the Menard, okay. Yeah. I will check. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bill Casey, 420 50th Street, Grand Rapids, Michigan, representative for GFS Marketplace.
Nice
didn't expect to be back in front of you guys again.
You miss us, huh?
Liked it so much, I thought I would come back. Mm-hmm. The signage that I'm proposing is the signage that has been on the building all the way through Council of the Whole, Planning Commission, to City Council. We read the ordinance a little differently than when it was interpreted. When I went in front of the ARB, I was given some clarification, and then soon recognized they didn't have the power to grant anything outside of the way the ordinance could be read. And so that's why we're here. The monument sign was down at the corner originally, very early stages of our plan. Once we understood the right-of-way taking that would occur in a few years, we moved the monument sign up to midpoint of our building, which would allow for both our sign on there and a future panel. So in doing that, there were a couple reasons that I needed to come before you guys as part of this amendment, and that would be because we don't fall under a master sign program, and we can't fall under a master sign program because our site is not big enough. Because we are going to be two users on the same site, but the site is not being split, so the site is under one ownership, we have to choose which frontage feet of road would we use. And we didn't want to take up all the future signage for the future tenant, but we also don't know when that tenant is going to come. So the way we had been looking at it is we would count the Riverwood Road frontage as our signage, and we also looked at it as our building is 152 feet off of Riverwood, except for the front corner bump out, which is only 142 feet. Well, we didn't think about that. We thought our building was 90% over 100 50 feet off the road, so we originally in our thought process calculated in this 0.5 extra factor that we would have got. So we thought we always met signage. We also thought that the future panel below us wouldn't be counted towards our signage, but it would be counted towards the future tenant signage. So we didn't allocate that. Well, all of a sudden when we were corrected in how we were viewing it, which it's my mistake, I realized it seems like we're grossly over. That's when I went to, after ARB, I talked with Nick and Joel and why I'm here today. So a couple things that I'd like. We really don't need to design the sign with the future panel below us to start. What I think we would propose to do is design that sign right there that Nick is showing up there, just with the idea that that sign can turn into this sign, which is the height requirements and width requirements that we're asking for today. But we really don't want to develop a site with a blank sign underneath us, and no one knows you know, what's going to be there or not there, but so that it can be set up for the next user down the road, they know that this is a monument sign that they can have and what their wall signage would be and what our wall signage would be. So that's, so what I did is I just brought the same elevation that I used before, which shows the exact same signage where it was. And the reason this is a little bit important is, you know, we designed the yellow bricking as a back panel around some of the signage. So if the signs change or go away, then the brick panel would change. Otherwise, it just wouldn't make you know, a lot of sense. So in the clarification, we wanted to just really talk about the fact that what was our wall signage we were asking for, what was our monument sign panel that we were asking for, and what would that allow for the future tenant and monument sign as well.
So you're not having the panel is going to be shorter?
You know, I think we can design the sign that way so that it can lift up and that panel can then be put in underneath it. And then that way we don't design a sign with a blank panel underneath there that just, I mean, what if it's vacant for 5 years? What if it's a year? No one knows. So I think that's our suggestion is we just build that sign there. But we get the approval for the future user that they know that they're going to get a panel underneath if they choose to have it.
So you're saying you want the approval for that, but you're only going to put that in?
Yep.
Okay, and then you say you're going to lift your sign up and then put the panel below it for when the future building comes in.
Yep.
But that's brick on your columns on the side, correct?
It's not brick on the columns on the side. That is an aluminum. You can see the rounding there.
Oh, is
there.
That the round?
Yep.
I was going to ask what that was.
And it has two posts that run inside there.
Yeah.
And so it's able to be lifted up and, you know, and the... It's a brick base, but the rounding is a red aluminum, you know, rounding. You can see
yeah,
that.
Yeah, okay, those. Gotcha. But it's not illuminated. It's an aluminum.
It's not illuminated.
Half circle.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Healy?
No, I was going to say that. It's not correct.
Yeah.
Any other comments?
No, I was going to correct it up to
like that. Yeah.
Not, is there a motion to... determining the proposed amendment to be a minor amendment.
So moved.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Is there a motion to recommend approval of an ordinance to amend Section 15-3.0415 of the Unified Development Ordinance, Plan Development District Number 10, to authorize an increase in signage area for the Gordon Food Service Marketplace Store and future retail building development.
So moved.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
I see there the alderman of the district is not there, so apparently there's no questions from that alderman for this area.
No, the question, I do see there are conditions, and I think the tenant agreed to these conditions.
I don't agree to. I do want the quality food service and supply sign. That's not a condition within the actual ordinance, though. Correct?
No,
that was a suggestion you
just
made.
Just a suggestion. I'm sorry. I should have said suggestions.
Yeah.
Not okay. Excuse me.
No. As I show it, I do show that with on that on there. We've shown it on there from the beginning, and
yeah.
And we do feel that is very important for us to have that on there. It helps identify what is inside the store for people that don't know.
And staff.
We bring that up because we always bring it up, but the Planning Commission hasn't agreed with us. The idea being that to reduce clutter in these special districts, 27th Street and the Civic Center, only the business name would be allowed in signage. We consistently bring that up. It was in our staff comments for the previous project as well. But the Planning Commission hasn't traditionally agreed with us. They have allowed signage to be more than just the business.
What was the intention of that clutter with the additional signs? I mean, actual full signs. This is just one sign.
Yeah, this would be a whole new sign that says just that. And so then they could ask for that same square footage as if they were getting that sign and just use their name again or make the other signs bigger and we'd have less of a concern. I guess we'd be okay.
I stand with my motion as it is. Accept that.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes.
Approved.
Motion carried.
Too late, Jeff.
Yeah, I just have a general comment. It bothers me a little bit that we make so much exceptions for this building. I know it's a good, and I'm in favor of having it, but something's wrong someplace. If we're trying to have a quality 27th Street corridor and we've got these criteria, either the criteria are wrong or we're just waving these things through. And it really kind of bothers me. I've been sitting on the 27th Street corridor for 4 or 5 years now that they've been working on streetscaping and everything.
8 years.
8 years? Seems like, obviously, if I talk to that. But anyway, and we want this to be a really special place. And it bothers me that we've set up standards. When something comes in, we just seem to. I mean, how many variances? Was there 5 or 6 variances we gave on this? I can't remember.
Well, we did turn down a $70 million medical complex keep our standards.
Maybe we did.
Well, we did.
But anyway, that's just my comment that I wonder why we're... Well, either we have too much in our code or we aren't going along with what originally.
Well, I think when the 8 years ago when it was put in place, the economy was going gangbusters and we were having to turn development away. And then a couple of years ago, a couple of presidential candidates had been their regular campaigns because the economy fell off the cliff. And so we, like every municipality in the world, is adjusting to that. But I think that Alderman Solomon the other day, the common council brought an issue to the common council's agenda that, okay, are you going to finance this thing? Are you serious about it or aren't you serious about it? There's really never been any total commitment on the part of the common councils for either Oak Creek or Franklin. What you have is you have a plan, a comprehensive master plan.
I agree, Jack, that we have had a lot of variances on the 27th Street, but I look at the standards that we've set for 27th Street are to make sure that things don't get out of control so that we can control those variances. I understand there haven't been many, and I do share some of your concerns with that. But I think the standards on 27th Street give us some bookends that we don't want to get too far afield from that. But when we have a good business such as GFS coming up, I think we could make some leeway within the constraints that the 27th kind of gives us some boundaries not to stray too far from and still keep some of that consistency. But I looked at people like Randy and you, Jack, and the mayor, and the two aldermen, to say we've gone too far. These variances are getting out of control, or there is something wrong. But I've not heard that. I mean, I think we do have our standards a little too tight, but I've not heard that to a great deal on 27th Street. Maybe I'm just not listening.
There's vision and there's reality.
That's right. Right on.
I hope we keep our vision.
Well, it's just
with
like,
reality.
You know,
and not just go to reality.
I could have said it in two words.
But Jack, it's like the DOT when we started off on 27th Street. The DOT and the plans for 27th Street with huge roundabouts and statutes in the media and all that stuff. That all went away and then it went away again, then it went away. It's sort of like 76th Street as well.
I think we're not going to have something special.
No, I think we're just adjusting to the real world.
Well, I know we are. We really want to adjust to the...
I just want to say thanks for your time.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
We hope to be breaking ground middle of March.
I hope you're a Red Wings fan.
Very good.
Is the plan, so...
Thank you.
If you're from Grand Rapids, I hope you're a Red Wings fan. Yeah.
Originally from Pittsburgh.
So. Oh!
What a way to leave.
We would have known that.
I was supposed to say that outside.
Good thing you didn't say that at the beginning of your presentation.
Should we reconsider?
Thank you.
Yeah, good night.
Yep. City words. Development Annual Report. Money report.
A little different this time. We added some additional information in our annual report. We put 2 of these in 2008.
Skrowski.
Okay.
Great bet.
We're putting more economic development related information in these annual reports. So I wanted to mention that in one of the previous staff reports, I think I mentioned it as well. But $20 million worth of development on average over the last 4 years. During the recession, after recession, that's not too bad. I haven't done any comparison with other communities, but just from the stuff you hear, there's a lot of communities out there that are doing a lot worse than us. So I think we used to do much better in terms of new growth and development, clearly. But I don't think we're doing so bad compared to many other communities. So I thought that was a good idea. It actually came from the mayor. That especially good news, I shouldn't hesitate to add some of that to these annual reports. So that was the biggest change. Otherwise, from the trends, complaints are still above historic averages. Times get bad. People have thinner skins and just get more upset more easily about issues with their neighbors. A number of application types have returned to historic averages. Variances, concept reviews, not too substantial from a new business standpoint, but site plans and special uses have pretty much returned to historic averages. I think that could be a sign that we really are slowly recovering. But there are some things that have not returned to historic averages yet. And rezoning, CSMs, UDO text amendments, temporary uses, zoning compliances have not returned to historic averages, and subdivision plans. Since 2009, we've had none, and we still have no new ones. So clearly there is some recovery occurring, but we haven't fully returned to the historic averages across the board yet. So hopefully we're heading in the right direction.
The only thing that I see that we're getting residential is the infills, is the lots that have been remnants laying around, and all of a sudden there's a house that pops up there. There's another one over here. And I think the realtors are doing everything and negotiating lot prices in order to get that burden off their back to get a house in there.
We're seeing building permits coming through.
Yeah, but they're infill stuff. You're not finding anybody coming in with a subdivision, let's say, whether it's an 8 or a 10 house or a 50 house subdivision. It's what are we down to now? About 200 lots or less?
Yes, we're getting close to 200.
We had 235 at one time.
Yes.
I guess we're 200.
Yeah.
Okay. Vacant lots.
Already
single
all zoned and ready to go. So,
Mr. Fowler. I read this report, and I think it's a very nice report, but I do think there are some things that were omitted. It's actually work that you guys have done that I think you should be very proud of. The Trails Committee could not, I think, some of the work that we tend to get credit for on 51st Street, the sidewalks, and some of the effort that there really goes to people like Nick Fuchs, who worked on that committee, and Jack, the engineering staff, that we could not have got that done without their assistance. And I really think that should be mentioned. That's been something that I was told would never happen, and now it seems that it is going to happen. And I think that the planning staff deserves a great deal of credit for that, along with the engineering staff. So I think that's what it should be.
Applause for the planning staff.
And again, I think the assistance that staff provides to our committees is invaluable. Like, I couldn't do my job as chair, because I'm pretty inept, without Nick kind of keeping me on the straight and narrow. So I really appreciate that effort. I think I would like to see it.
I'll certainly echo that. I think
everyone
has a vision probably with me. We certainly depend on and value very much the board and staff helping us to, understand the issues, what applicants are bringing forward, the problems that are coming up, and the advice and information that you provide for us to help us understand issues is absolutely essential to what we as a bunch of volunteers go up a couple times a month. But if you need to understand them, your role is regard to the complaints that have been coming in, is there a pattern to those? Particularly, are they concerning things that were code violations or not done in accordance with what was approved? Or are people complaining about things that actually are within code or within what's approvable, what's been approved, and they simply don't like the things that were approved?
I haven't done a number crunch on that breakdown. My gut feeling is that proportions are about the same. There is and always has been a significant proportion of these complaints that are not valid. But there is also a significant proportion that are valid. And my gut feeling is that proportions probably remain relatively the same. I just think the threshold that thing starting to bother people, it was getting lower and lower, and little things that wouldn't bother people before are starting to bother people now.
Mr. Micklick and Alderman Skronsky.
I also want to add my thanks, Nick especially, because I know having started on the Trails Committee with trying to do this stuff, even though I did this much by myself, it's a lot of work. And you got a lot done for us and continue to get a lot done for us, and we really appreciate that. I also appreciate, and I don't think it's made note of to the extent you could, the amount of infill and brownfield development we've been able to accomplish. Filling in what used to be a multi-acre grocery store and making it into a gym and a sports store, that's a wonderful thing. The what do they call the bouncy bounce place? The
Durham's
Jump Zone.
Or jump zone.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty significant to repurpose a grocery type space like that. And again, this is the kind of marketing the city should do. When we're able to turn something over like that that already exists, that already has infrastructure attached to it, that doesn't cost us near as much money as if we spread it out onto the edges or try to start over. So if you do anything to change this report, I would bump that with a trumpet.
Just so you know, Alderman Skronsky, I think, brought in the jumps. No, seriously.
Yeah, we're jumping all over the place.
Get him in.
I would like to see you amend this report to add more of the things that you've done so that that gets out to the public. And I don't know if we need to make a motion to do that, but I would ask you to vote.
Actually, this report's already gone to the county council, yeah. So it's done.
Never hurts to toot the
horn. But the planning staff, that draft that we brought in for economic development board, Franklin. The resource guide is now up on the website. Historically, that would have been performed by an outside agency, probably for $20,000 or something. It was all done in-house. Nick, I think, put that together, right?
Yes, he did most.
Great job.
Yeah,
great job.
Very nice. And it's out. It's now out to the entire world, so you can point to it.
Yeah, it's all those hidden talents you got there, Nick. Very good.
It sounds like a how much?
Yeah.
You know, my memory just isn't like it.
Yeah. You know, another thing, as you referred to, Joe, on these complaints, I think you get a lot of these complaints because you have a by ordinance that you cannot identify the complainant. And that's a big problem. I think the ordinance should change that if anybody wants to complain, they should have their name out there and say, who's complaining? And I think you're going to cut that down 50 to 75%. Because what it is, it's a shield to hide behind that people do that just for the sake of annoying somebody. And I've had enough of it in my area that people just want to do this to antagonize their neighbor. It's like a spite fence. It's just, I'm going to do this and write it, and they know they can get away with it. So I'm going to be checking with the mayor and the city attorney about getting that provision off. And I would be more than glad to listen to my fellow line commissioners and say, you agree with me, because that's not right. If you got a legitimate complaint, stand up and say why your complaint is there or you have a concern. But to hide behind a shield of anonymity, I guess, or that, oh, you don't know it. Well, what the hell? You can go around and write complaints against everybody. And that's not right, you know.
Just on that note, and it's also very troublesome for the staff of the city, and it takes an enormous amount of time and effort. When I was an alderman, which isn't that many years ago, I think I ran in 99, the alderman of the district pretty much handled the calls went to the alderman after they would, if they couldn't be resolved by the department heads. And the alderman would go out and meet with the people. And if things could not be resolved, then I would give the citizen, I would say, well, here's the formal complaint form. But at least the elected people would know what's going on in their own areas. Since this complaint procedure has been put in place some few years back by other elected officials, It's really brought a tremendous workload on the staff that's taking them away from other responsibilities. And I think more importantly, you're getting people that are filing frivolous grievances, I'll call it, complaints, and it starts the whole city has to start up and investigate this, and only maybe a week later comes back and says, you know, there's no merit whatsoever to it, and then the alderman says, what's going on? What I think the original intent of this complaint procedure and where it is now, it's just got completely out of sync. And I think the Common Council should go back and revisit the whole thing. Mr. Bennett?
And just to add to that is that the first thing when I talk to somebody that files a complaint, I ask them, have you talked to the person? Mm-hmm. I'd say, I don't know, 60-70% of the time, now we don't get along, we don't talk. It's two neighbors that can't get together in most cases. Cause, and I usually tell them, I said, you know, they're going to figure out where they got the complaint. I said, we can't reveal it, but if it's between two neighbors, they're going to figure it out. And, you know, it even makes people madder if you go complain to the city and they'll go talk to them. So I always ask, I said, you talk to your neighbor. But I would say 70% of the time they say, well, we don't get along, we don't talk, I won't talk to him, he won't do anything if I did. I mean, and so...
The alderman used to take care of that.
And it is. I would say that a lot of our complaints are just because two neighbors don't get along.
Yep.
Well, and I would certainly agree if we're finding that it's taking up staff time, then I would certainly encourage the Common Council members to review their policy, the policy, see if something can be worked out that would, obviously when somebody comes in and complains, you can't just instantly know whether it's a legitimate or valid item or not, but certainly through any kind of analysis of the complaints or the situations, some criteria that can be applied, something like that, or some revision of the policy, I would certainly be supportive of that and encourage the council and staff to go ahead and try to work out a better alternative.
I spend most of my life in the municipal sector, but Mr. Roberta spent a considerable amount of time, if not all of it. And according to him, I think he's been an administrator in Kenosha and ran Caledonia. He said many communities, if not most, don't have a complaint procedure at all. The aldermen or the elected officials handle 99% of everything that goes on. So it is, you know, when you have times are good and you have ample budgets, you can do these things. When you have skeleton workforces and you've got a mountain of workload coming in, and more probably still looking, you know, maybe it's a time that roll this back to where it used to be with the aldermen taking care of 99% of this stuff.
That's part of what you get elected for.
Yeah, actually, that's
your
what
people.
I thought.
Yeah, certainly would be a better use of staff time to support the economic development effort than to try to chase down frivolous complaints.
Yeah, and some of those complaints, you don't only get the planning department, you get the building inspector, you get the police department, sometimes you get the fire department.
Jerry Schaefer,
yeah, on the street. You know, what I do is if something comes in, I call who I feel I have to, go and talk to them and try and get it resolved. It's a little more time on mine, but if I can do it that way, out of sight, out of mind, it's gone.
Yeah, we
you
probably
don't let
have,
it fester.
I'm sorry.
No.
Orrin's probably spending 98% of his time on this, right?
Yeah, most of Orrin's time is spent on complaints and a little bit on primarily me. And altogether, it takes almost a full-time position.
Okay. Any other comments or suggestions?
Yeah.
If not, then I'll turn to the next item. Good job on the report. Did you mention the major thing that occurred, the most earth-shaking thing in the planning department as the last 2 days?
No.
So yeah, you can make the announcement.
I can make that announcement. I am now reporting to the mayor instead of director of the city administrator, and I think that was a great relief for Mark. It frees up some of his time. I'm not too sure how excited the mayor is.
Depends on what kind of coffee you have downstairs.
That's the second coming.
Oh, actually, we were meeting once a week anyhow, if not more, and then we were on the phone all the time. So if you have complaints or whatever, send them to Joe.
We just got through this. How the elected officials are supposed to be the ones.
See,
I was listening.
Some of us, you know, put our money where our mouth is. Mural ad hoc development review process. I believe that resolution I requested is still over by the city attorney. But we've asked that the Ford Franklin Committee take on the remaining duties from the ad hoc, mural ad hoc development review committee. No sense having duplication of effort. Yep.
Related items, the joint meeting between CDA, Plan Commission, Ford Franklin, we're working on putting one together end of February, beginning of March, to talk in more detail about 27th Street. The standards for the streetscaping plan, more accurate cost estimates, and what is still achievable. There's some things we won't be able to do because of DOT putting their foot down certain things. The cost considerations are always there. And I think the mayor is hoping for a recommendation before we go to the town council.
Well, and I would just on that note, I thought Mr. Miklick brought up a really good suggestion about trying to have the meetings. You know, we have the CDA with the Plan Commission, and I don't know what we would need to do to get Ford Franklin on maybe the same night so that, you know, if we need to do more joint meetings, it's, we can do that. What nights do they meet now, Mondays?
Last Monday of the month, or the fourth Monday of the month?
Yeah, last Monday of the month.
Yeah. It also would probably help with, people's time. If you're gonna go out like we are tonight, just get it all done in one night instead of coming in on a Wednesday and another night and another night and another night. It also would free up some staff time.
And they could all count that meeting as their meeting for the month too, when everybody gets together, so we don't have to have another one beyond that.
Yeah,
we'd be good. Yeah, be good.
Yeah, we can do this. It's a good idea. Trails committee.
What about the city?
Where is that?
Right before.
Oh, I got to put my glasses on.
I'll gladly give the trail.
Okay, go ahead.
I wasn't quite ready.
Sure, that's fine.
You're on.
Am I on now?
Okay. Movie star.
Yeah. How many times were you going to say that at the council?
Anyway.
So every time I change the channel, there's Dave on it. Another one. You see him on TV? Every channel.
Right.
I got a 65-inch screen there, Dave.
I look too heavy on TV.
Oh, I hope he did.
Oh, no.
They were architectural board people.
Just a couple things for the Trails Committee. As you probably know, we were going to go to the council to talk about the complete streets at the last council meeting on Tuesday. We asked that be tabled. John had an unbreakable commitment that he couldn't be there. And also it gives us an opportunity to go to the Committee of the Whole and make a presentation. And I think Sandy's getting us on the agenda for the Committee of the Whole. And John and I will be at that meeting. And it's March 5th. I got it right because I wrote it down. And then also Nick reminded us that the Safe Routes to School grant coming up this spring, we're hoping that they can get up to $250,000, but with the budget constraints that most of the states and the federal government are facing, we probably will not get that amount. We will be putting together a proposal that we'll bring to the Planning Commission and eventually to the Council to get approval to take that forward as a grant. And we did talk a little bit. Ben Franklin Elementary School had a walking. We're going to do a walking once a month, so we're going to try to support what we can, Ben Franklin. And and also in regards to the Safe Routes to School, I'll be composing a letter, Mayor, that I'll be sending to you that we're going to send to Senator Johnson, Senator Cole, Ryan, just educating them, not lobbying them to vote either way, but just to say how much we think Safe Routes to School and that kind of funding is critical to the city. So I was sending it to you for your review.
Just talking to Congressman Ryan's person today.
Or if you think there's another venue that would work better, I would be open to suggestions.
But also consider taking this to the ICC meeting with mayors and village presidents. Just putting an agenda and introducing it. I don't know if they have this in other municipalities or not.
That would be worthwhile. The National Chamber of Commerce is trying to organize opposition to the current transportation bill as well. So I would assume you're aligned with them and consistent with their views. So that would probably be worthwhile.
I'd be willing to. If John would like to do that.
Yeah, I mean, the attention span of mayors is not very long, but they would be probably welcome it and be very informative for them.
I'm going to take advantage of this rock star status.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's over.
It's over already.
Pass out DVDs on your
If I might, just in addition to that, funding for Safe Routes to School is not the only thing on the chopping.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Transportation Enhancement Program, which is probably the premier program for providing trail development money, state percent federal match, money from the state. So there are several things in a pending transportation bill that are scheduled to currently being eliminated. I think that's probably something that many of the leaders are concerned about.
And I think from the Trails Committee's point of view, and you might just brief my information on this, the North Cape Road is going to come up with the county. And the school district is concerned because, of course, Country Dale is situated at the south end of North Cape. And I think the city and the school district both share concerns about that as a major north-south corridor in the western part of the city. And I think a certain individual to my left would be concerned about that.
I think that road has been so good
for so long. Why do you have complaints about it? I don't understand.
Isn't it something?
I just don't understand. But anyway, I think it's critical that we get this complete street. Okay.
And then
that's coming up quick.
On the note of transportation, you may have read that I'm heading up what's called a ICC, a Shared Services Committee, and Rob Hankin from the Public Policy Forum is assisting along with the Greater Milwaukee Committee and funding it. The last meeting we had the Faye Roberts instead of Mr. Buzalaki talk about potential intergovernmental cooperation agreements between Milwaukee County and municipalities for things like North Cape Road, Ross, and what I expressed, because Jack beat it into me many times, is that all of us would be fools to take the last proposal from Milwaukee County DOT, and that was, okay, you take over the maintenance of these roads, and then we won't give you any funding, or we'll get any more funding, and then you'll have it.
And then don't raise your taxes.
Well, and then don't don't do any reconstruction of the current mess. So what I asked for, and some of the other administrators that were in the room was, let's sit down and see. Well, first of all, does the county executive have a desire to try and sit down and enter into mutually agreeable contracts that represent more of a partnership than a one-way
dictatorship?
And then maybe we can all sit down and do something. It's surprising how many communities don't have or would not have the road equipment or the ability of doing construction to build their own facilities. That also was on the topic, was the sharing of equipment. Parks came up a little bit.
By the way, Milwaukee County now has postponed 76th Street another year since 2014.
Good. We got time to improve.
That is excellent. I know that may not be good news. I think it's good news because it gives us a chance to get it done right. I understand your concerns.
It's all designed.
It's always. I would really like to give 76. It's going to be a major thoroughfare.
Well, we're getting a little bit off the agenda, but right. you will have three county supervisors now. So that's a county road. Rawson Avenue is a county road. North Cape Road is a county road. We get the phone calls. Somebody needs to inform the public that those are counted roads. Call your supervisors. Okay, anything else on that? Trails?
Yeah, just thanks. Nick does a great job.
It's a new department head. That's it.
Yeah, I brought a map.
He's going to share his radio report.
I brought a map.
Yeah, to becoming an already wants a 20 grand.
And I was going to.
Let's see, comprehensive master plan. Anything I've had? No. I have something on that. Had the opportunity of talking to a representative from Chris Abley's shop about trying to purchase some land within Milwaukee County for a, which would be a part of the comprehensive master plan, a central park. So see if anything comes from that. Let's see. That's it. The motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Moved second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries.